The Lawn Hustle. Hey, thank you for joining today. We're coming to you live from the Equip Expo in Louisville, Kentucky. And I am honored to have Tony Rudolph with Tony's Lawn Care. And Tony reached out to me a few weeks back and asked me to be a guest on his podcast. And since then, he has allowed me into his circle of friends that do podcast, and I just am overwhelmed with appreciation to Tony for allowing me in his world and developing a friendship and a relationship. Tony said something to me. He said, when he makes a friend, it's for life. And I appreciate that friendship. So Tony, thank you for getting on the Lawn Hustle and talking with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your business.
Yeah, so it's awesome, you know, getting to know you. How are my levels? Are they pretty good? Like my, I would like a little more in my headphones if I could.
Sure.
There we go. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But yeah, so like, been in the business my whole life, and yeah, started as a young kid and started doing it after school with my dad, and then didn't really like it as much. Liked it more as a teenager, and started my own business in 2012, and met the lawn care community and been trying to connect and build friendships, you know, as the years went on. And you're no different. You know, I try to connect with someone pretty much every day online, email someone, contact someone every day. Sometimes, you know, just like these things go, sometimes maybe a podcaster, maybe they don't even have their email address in the thing, or maybe they're hard to even get a hold of or whatever reason, you know, or maybe they don't reply or whatever. It's so easy nowadays, especially with email stuff, to fall in the spam or whatever. But man, I reached out to you and you were so humble and kind and got back with me right away. And that was the thing, you know, I would always love to add another friend to the network that I have. And you were no different. You know, there's no catches, no reason, you know, I don't want anything from you, don't need anything. I just want to build other friends in the lawn business that are going the same direction as me. And so that's how it was such a blessing to hear from you and then hear your story. And you're tired of law enforcement. And man, I'm assuming, are you going to do another episode telling about the story about the guy that gave you the badge today? Because that was cool.
Yes, I plan on doing an episode on that.
Yeah.
It was very, very kind of him to give me that badge from the Little Rock, Arkansas Police Department.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm honored that he did that. But let me ask you about your business. How long have you been in business, and where is your business located?
So I'm in kind of middle Georgia, middle, a little bit eastern of the state. It's called Lake Oconee, between Atlanta and Augusta. Atlanta's our major city, obviously, and Augusta's a pretty big city. It's where, like, the Masters golf thing is and that kind of thing. I'm kind of between there, you know, on I-20. Yeah, so I take care. Well, we're 12 months a year down there. It's pretty warm, like, most of the year. Obviously, that's a con. You know, during the summer, it's toasty. I mean, it's really hot, you know.
Right.
And it can burn a lot of people out in this business just because it's, you know, when they get into it, it's hotter than they thought, you know, when you start getting into some of the, you know, June, July, August kind of thing. Which is, I mean, it's hot everywhere, but I mean, we have 87% humidity, you know, where I live. So
that's the thing that kills me, yeah. Is the humidity.
Yeah. But the pro of that, so that's the con, but the upside is that we basically work all winter because it's warm enough, like, we don't have snow.
Yeah.
And it's not frigid enough to where it shocks all the leaves down, so they fall all the way up through, you know, middle of January.
Okay.
There's mess to clean up. And then a lot of the type of properties I've had, I'm more of a gardener more than just like a mowing guy. Obviously, I do mowing. It's part of the process. But so they have a lot of winter grasses that need shaped up, do some shaping and pruning to the crepe myrtles. I like to not lop them off if they don't. Some people, like, they're dead set on doing that. And I will do that if they want me to.
It's crepe myrtle.
Yeah, right. But even that, I like, even if they want me to lock them off, I like to go maybe 6 inches up from where they sprouted the last year, and they'll kind of be split, and then cut, you know, cut the 2 6 inches up from where they were pruned the last time.
Right.
And if you do that, even if you lop it off completely, it still looks pretty good. You're still kind of getting a consistent shape as, you know, as it's going up. But what I prefer to do is just trim off the limbs that are kind of going sideways or laying down, and just leave most of the canopy and kind of shape it. That's what I try to talk them into it, and maybe half the customers are on that, but You know, a lot of people that are maybe around your age or something that are from 70s and 80s, some people think, oh, you gotta cut them things off. You know what I mean? That's fine. They're dead. It's their house. You know, if that's how they want me to do it, I'll do it. Right. I give them a 5-minute speech about it one time if they not going along with it. You know, and you can show them, you know, stuff from the universities and studies, you know, that show that you shouldn't, you know, whack them off. But, I don't continue to push it because once, you know, I start the lawn and after giving that speech and tell them about what the university research is and blah, blah, blah. And if they still don't go with that and they want me to lop them off, well, then each year I just lop them off for them because I know that's what they want, you know, from the last year. And so, yeah. So, but anyway, there's a lot of pruning. I cleaned some of the gutters, you know, and depending, you know, some of the 3-story houses and stuff, I'm not messing with those, you know, but they're select few, you know, kind of have easier roofs and stuff. And so I'll clean, blow off those roofs, you know, once, twice a year. And
right. So
I do kind of that. So I kind of try to look over their house just in general overall. So it's not just the mowing.
Property maintenance.
Yeah, I guess you'd call it property maintenance. We can do the ground cover, mulch, or pine straw, whatever they want. And if shrub dies or something, I can replace that. Or if they want some more shrubs planted or something. But I'm not doing I'm not going to make them a stone patio or I'm not doing big installs like that. I'll repair the irrigation. I'm not scared at all, you know, to dig and fix pipes and any of that stuff. So, I mean, it's good. So I don't do a lot of major things. I do maintenance, and then, but here or there on weekends or every couple times a month, I'll help my dad in his business. And he doesn't want to just do mowing. I think it's a little bit, he gets bored with that. So he has kind of a smaller, even smaller mowing route than I do. And I have a younger brother that still works with dad, you know, it's just his choice. He didn't want to start his own business, which is fine. So he's still working with my dad. So he does most of my dad's lawn route. And so my dad, day to day, he's out doing a tree job or, you know, digging out a seawall and repairing a section, you know, with the excavator and driving new slats. And he's doing a lot of that kind of, you know, like, or grading or different jobs, you know, that people want. And so that's, my dad spends a lot of time doing that. So I help him do that. And my whole life, he used to do major new installs and all kinds of crazy things growing up. So that was kind of good for me. So I have a lot of experience. I've helped pour driveways before and sidewalks, you know, concrete. I've done a lot of things, but I just really, really, really like the maintenance aspect. It's very low stress, and I like that it's a little fast-paced. You know, on some of these jobs, you'd be out there for weeks or months at the same house just doing this. You know, it just feels like you're going to be there forever just trying to get. So that's one thing I like about maintenance. You know, you go in, mow for an hour or so, trim some shrubs. You know, let's say for me, my average service is probably, obviously it all depends on the time of year and this and that, but let's say it's roughly an hour, hour and 25 minutes. Do some, you know, shrub trimming on there, do the mowing, edging, pull some weeds, spray some weeds, and I'm gone, you know, on to the next house. So I do maybe, it just depends, 5 to 8 houses a day kind of deal. And so I have 27, 28 properties. But if everything goes smoothly, you know, I can do it in 4 days, and that's my plan. So as a solo guy, that gives me a little buffer, which I think is important as a solo guy. Even if I don't know, I hurt my arm or my foot or something, that does, you know, that gives you 3 days out of every 7, technically, that you could, you know, push things forward or backward. You know, it gives you a little leeway in your schedule. And then that 5th day, you know, you can do ground cover jobs, which most of that's in the spring. You know, that's not all the time. But, just like everyone, in the spring rush, it's crazy because everyone wants mulch and pine straw and stuff. And you're trying to mow all the lawns. And you're trying to – so that's where it gets a little fishy there for a couple months. It gets a little sketchy. But on the normal schedule, you know, so I can do it 4 days. And then, like I said, a couple times a month, I still try to work with my dad, you know, just as one of his employees on his crew. I go out there and I enjoy that. You know, it's cool to work on a landscape job, when you're not the boss, you know what I mean? It feels different. It's pretty, you know, I just go out there and I'm digging with shovel, whatever we're doing.
Right.
That's something I think people don't realize. People think, oh, if you have your own business and if you're the boss, things are just easy. But, you know, as the owner, when you're not only are you there just to mow and stuff, but as the owner, you're also having to think about, okay, I remember she told me she wanted this way, and I wonder if they're happy with this, or I wonder if, you know, if they decided to buy this, or are they paid up, or am I making enough money per man hour, you know, on this,
right.
You know, all these things that you think about as an owner on every single property you're on. Whereas when I'm working with my dad, I mean, I'm just out there doing whatever work we're doing, and I just focus on just trying to work hard at whatever job, you know, we're doing and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Kind of relieves the stress and the pressure
mm-hmm.
off of you as a business owner
yeah.
when you're working for your dad. Speaking of your dad, I've met him this week, and it was an honor to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get him on my podcast.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, yeah.
And but I appreciate you. Let me ask you this. If you could go back and ask yourself when you started any question about what you would do different than what you've done presently, what would that one thing would you tell yourself in the past?
I think I really, when I started, I really didn't believe in myself enough, you know. Deep down, I didn't know if I could really be a good business owner or really provide a good product and really make good money. Like, I mean, I'm sure everyone has those thoughts when they started, but
right.
If we're willing to put in the hard work and be consistent for a lot of years, we will be okay. Like, we will be fine. We will have a good business. But, and so I, like, you know, I think as I, if I would, to tell myself when I started that, hey, be patient. It's going to take a long time, but you can do it. You're going to have a good business. And so hopefully we're spreading that message to other people out there, right? Because I started with zero lawns just like anyone else. Not nice junk equipment, you know, just like everyone.
Right.
When I'm starting out, very low money. I didn't have like a grant to like start my business or like some kind of equity account or, you know, anything. Right. You know, I was younger. And but again, I just think that I undervalued myself, and I think that's very common, you know, when you start, and that ends up bleeding to, you know, then you're really underpricing yourself, so because you just don't really believe that you're actually worth it.
Right.
You know, these are the same problems that I feel like a lot of people face. But if I could look back and think about what can happen in just a few years of just being consistent, providing the customer good work and calling them back and whatever, you guys out there, you can have a great business. So just believe in yourself. If you doubt yourself, contact Andy, contact me, and we can help you through some of these doubts and questions that you have in your mind that are really bothering you, because I guarantee you a lot of the things that you guys are listening to this podcast out there, a lot of any crazy things that you think about yourself, probably me or Andy has came across those bad thoughts, you know, in our own mind at some point. And the best way probably to get through that is to talk to someone about it that has already been through that journey, because see, someone can't bring you somewhere they haven't been. You know, if someone doesn't have $1,000, they can't give $1,000 because they don't have $1,000. So you guys are listening to the podcast, you know, if you talk to Andy, he's someone that has a professional business and has done it for a number of years. So just ask someone that's already been through that journey, because they're more than likely very happy to help you, you know, right. Answer your questions along there, because it's also because someone like Andy that you on this podcast, but I'm just talking to listener, you know, if Andy has started a business and ran a business, this is not something where it's like, it's not something where it's hard for you to help the listener on some doubt they have in your mind. It's not, you don't have to rehearse it. You don't have to work on it, write it down, you know, because it's just a natural thing that you've been through. So it's not, you don't have to rehearse that. It's like showing someone, you know, how do you put gas in your car? Well, you don't have to think about how you're going to teach them to do it or whatever. This is something that you do
just
every day.
Natural.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, even questions that you guys out there listening that you feel like in your mind they might be huge doubts that you have about yourself or whatever, well, to Andy or anybody that's successful business and people in the lawn business, it's probably not. It's something. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been through that. You know, it's like it may seem like a really big deal to you out there, but to someone like Andy, someone like me that's already, you know, been through the ruts, the mud of this issue before, it's not a big deal to talk about it, you know, once you've been through it, you know. And most people are open book about it. And if you're listening to this podcast, you know, this is you don't have excuse to feel alone, you know, about these things, you know.
Right.
And you're doing it even without a full voice, only half a voice. Like,
right.
90% of people would have, I don't know, they would have just settled for some job, you know, somewhere, because they figure, hey, I can't even talk to people. How am I going to go out and meet with clients, you know, and do all this thing? And, But that's something that everyone, you know, nobody's body is perfect. That's the other thing. I was talking to a guy this morning after the morning show, and he's, he's doing his business on the side, and he was talking about like some different like pains and stuff that he's having, joints and things. And I was telling him like, hey, well, don't let your mind tell you that you're the only one that has joint pain doing lawn care business, right? Even me, I have different knee pains at different times, and as you get older, you have more and more. So like, It kind of takes some of the, you know, if it's a balloon that's filled with drama, it kind of pops that balloon some, because when you're going through these things in your mind, you're out there mowing and you're by yourself and you think, man, I'm, you know, this joint is hurting, like I'm probably like about to die or something. You know, like your mind just tells you these things, you know, right?
Right.
But if you can pop that balloon, and the, how you pop that balloon is talk to someone that has been that same thing. And anyway, what I was telling him is, hey, there's a lot of guys at a lot of ages, older ages, you know, that have these pains. It's not like you have a pain and they don't have a pain. No, everybody, you know, is dealing with the different levels of pain as we go through life and different things that happen with our body and different surgeries we have to have. And I had to have a weird little surgery on my back when I was younger. Just these things happen, you know.
Right.
And so everyone's dealing with physical, you know, limitations or whatever. And so even something like that, you guys out there, don't let your mind tell you that, oh man, this is terrible and like this is bad, you know. Like,
right.
We've been through it. Andy's been through things. He's been through not even having a voice and building a 140 client lawn business. So that's right. Pretty cool.
Well, that's some great advice for anyone that's listening, you know, to know your value and invest in yourself and, you know, be consistent. I think that was the key word in everything you just said, consistency. Get up every morning, strap your boots on, go to work, do the best job you can for your client, for your community. Because I feel like when I'm working for a client, I'm not just working for that client. I'm working for my community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because when people drive by that house that has a manicured lawn, beautiful stripes, the hedges are trimmed, the edges are you know, crisp, it makes my city look better.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I look at it, and I also go back to the scripture that says, whatever you do, whatever your hands find to do, you do it as unto the Lord.
Yes, yes.
So I don't think I'm just working for my client and my community.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm working for the Lord while I'm out there working.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, keep going.
That to me, that's the key thing. Take pride in your work. Know your value and be consistent with it.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you this. If you could change anything about your business, what would be the one thing you would change?
If I could change something about my business, I think that I should have narrowed some of my areas quicker. You know, like I held on to them for probably 5 or 6 years longer than I did, just because sheerly because I was scared, right? Just like all of us, you know, we have these things that maybe we think that we probably should do that, but I just didn't have the faith. I didn't have the guts. And finally, I think finally as we go along, sorry, there's a guy that wants to get on our podcast and he's trying to text me, and I was telling him we're in this B110. Anyway, so we're in the South Wing right now, aren't we? yeah, the B110. Anyway, okay. So, like, yes. So, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is I didn't believe in myself. Well, even 10 years later, I'm having some success, but I'm worried, man, if I take out a step of faith and tell just this group of people that I'm going to stop them at the end of the year, how do I know that I can find enough to replace them in this other group, right? It's just the same thing that everyone thinks about. But I think about, so many of these things in business, I should have stepped out on faith quicker. You know, and I don't think it's wise to be stupid or be silly. Like, I think if we make small tweaks to our business each year, because like I don't think it's wise to just, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, next month is Christmas, I haven't really planned, I'm just gonna whack out 50% of my income and see what happens. No, that's not what I'm saying to do. But what I'm saying is what can we change? Maybe we could get rid of half of the lawns in that neighborhood, and then maybe at the beginning of the season we could do that. But I also think if we say we're going to do something next year, let's say as we come up to winter and we're like, I'm going to do this in spring. If we think about, you know, if we go up, if we say we're going to do something in the spring, then we better do it in the spring. Because what happens is we go through the winter, saying guys generally across the country, and then maybe, you know, money gets a little low or whatever, and they know they have these customers, but they said they were going to get rid of those ones and do something else, you know, in the spring. but then they don't actually follow through with it when it actually gets time. You know, it's just like it's a procrastination thing. Say, hey, I'm going to do that in the spring. But what I'm saying is, I'm a fan of making small incremental changes, but you better do them by the date that you said you're going to do them. You know,
right.
Yeah. So like, even this year, my business, I gave people several months. You know, change how I do the payments and stuff, but I stuck to it. Like, that's the date. Like, if they didn't fix it on that, you know, date when I told them I was going to stop mowing their lawn, and I was serious about that. So we have to hold ourselves accountable, maybe tell someone else about it to help us hold ourselves accountable. Don't just keep these things in our head, you know. I'm talking to business owners every day. And so let's keep these things. And I'm very open about every part of my business. So that's the thing. Yeah, like I take too long to make changes in my business. Like when I think back, you know, I could have been 10 years, well, let's just say even a more conservative number. Let's say, hey, can you ask Dad, talk to Dad? let's say I could have been at least 5 or 6 years ahead of where I am now if I was just not scared to make these 5% changes every year. So let's say you're only going to change 5%, right? Well, then just make sure you are making, then that means you can't make 0% change. You have to make the 5% change every year, you know? So
just do what you say. Be a man of your word.
Mm-hmm.
When you say something, stick to it. I believe in you. I really value your friendship. You have, in the small amount of time that I've known you, you've made an impact on my life. And I appreciate you stopping by and being on my podcast today. And
what's the coolest thing you've seen at Equip so far?
I think probably the most interesting thing is when I was at the Grasshopper booth and found out that they are coming out with a battery-powered mower and an autonomous mower.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's not really out there yet. They're working on it. So I'm excited to see that. But at Equip, the Segway mower, I was intrigued by how it worked and that little
mm-hmm,
heel
mm-hmm.
that they had set up in the booth area, and watching how smooth it operates. I was impressed with that. So what about you? What's your favorite thing of Equip so far?
Let me think. So, like, I think one of the coolest things I've seen, I've seen that Skag released a new mower that I've never seen. It's called SLS, and I think it might even be a very low-end mower. May even be, like, lower than, like, their Liberty Z or whatever. But I think that's cool. You know, making things that are affordable, like, for homeowners is a cool thing, and still, you know, get a good product.
Right.
I think that's really cool. So that was something cool I've seen. Then outside, Echo had released two new blowers that look kind of weird. They're kind of stripped down their design, and they actually changed some of the internals. They kind of almost have a four mix system, almost like the Steels now on just these two models. And one of them's kind of a mid size, but it's even lighter than you know, like the industry standard, the Steel BR600. It's another pound lighter than that, similar power as that. So that's something like even for me that I was testing out there. Because for me, this point in my business, you know, I want every size of blower, but what's the lightest one I can get for most power? I don't care what the brand color says on there, you know. And so, like, there's some of those things that I thought were really cool.
I know you use Milwaukee blowers.
Yes.
Battery-powered. And so I went to the Milwaukee booth today and tested their battery-powered blower. And I was really impressed with the wind speed, the way it moved the leaves that they had in their little booth. So that's something I'm going to look into. My only drawback on battery power stuff is the battery life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think the handheld stuff probably has a ways to go before I would completely go to battery power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But once the battery life is increased, I am certainly not opposed to that. I think our industry is heading in a different direction with autonomous mowers, battery powered equipment. We're going to see a drastic change in our industry. And this, a lot of this has started in California.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they say when it starts in California, eventually it'll take over the whole United States. So we might be a few years out still before it, you know, capitalizes our industry. But we're heading in that direction. And I think if guys, I've heard people say, well, I'll never use a battery powered. And you're probably going to get ran over
if
you're not willing to make a few changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the only person that likes or appreciates change is a wet baby.
Right, right, yeah.
And they appreciate change. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to do some adjusting to all of our businesses.
Mm-hmm. Hang on.
Keep talking.
I'm going to text this guy real quick.
In order to stay up with the industry, or we're going to get bypassed. We're going to get ran over. And I certainly don't want that for my business. I don't want that for your business or for anyone's business. I think we got to learn how to adjust to stay on the cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be a cutting edge business. I want to be set apart from my competitors that might be unwilling to change.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can make those little changes, 5% change,
mm-hmm.
10% change, do this a little different this year than I've ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that separates us from the competitors that are unwilling mm-hmm. to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think we got to stay on the cutting edge if we want to maintain success in the business. You got to grow with the business. You got to stretch beyond your comfort zone in the business. And don't get run over. So I appreciate looking at all the battery-powered stuff at Equip this year. For me, Equip this year has been relationship. My wife asked me if I was having a good time. And I think I said the Equip for me has been everything I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've gotten everything that I wanted to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
For this reason right here.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship, building experiences with people,
mm-hmm.
establishing friendships and relationships. That's what I set as a goal for this Equip. You know, I've got enough hats. I did pick up a few. I got enough ink pens and Cujos or whatever you want to pick up at the booth, stickers or whatever. But I value the camaraderie and the friendships and the relationships that I'm building at Equip this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
with you,
absolutely. Yeah.
With the other men in the LCBU. And I've met some of the industry's leading people mm-hmm. this year at Equip.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Every year you meet someone.
So thankful to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Equip was for me, a relationship-building experience.
Yeah, and, we got our new friend Jordan over here. I met him after the other morning show out there.
I met him at Johnny's Blade of Grass at Toro booth.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I seen
so
him.
So, do you know like his story, like why he sounds like that, and all that stuff? Just a little bit.
I told him a little bit about my throat cancer
mm-hmm.
because it was probably hard for them to hear me in that loud environment, but I just let him know a little bit that I'm a throat cancer survivor.
Yeah.
And I look at it this way. Cancer, I didn't have cancer. Cancer had me.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer don't know what it ran into when it
right.
ran into me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I beat it. I was sick for 3 years. I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a terrible experience. And it took a lot from me. But I'm here.
You're doing it.
I won.
Yeah.
I beat it. And I'm grateful and thankful. When they put me to sleep on my last surgery, when they took half my voice box, I went to sleep not knowing if I would ever be able to talk again. And having to look at my wife and my kids, my mom, my dad, and tell my brothers and sisters, I love you. Not knowing if I would ever be able to say that again. The tears were just flowing down my cheeks. But that's a whole different story for a whole different podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I won, and I want to tell everyone that's listening to this podcast, you can win. No matter what your struggle is, no matter what you're facing, financial stress, sickness, if you're going through addiction,
mm-hmm.
if you're having marital problems, whatever it is, you can make the best of this situation that you're in right now by simply making up your mind
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that you're not going to let this situation destroy you. Just like I've said before, I refuse to let cancer define me
mm-hmm.
because that's not me. What you're hearing today, this is me, a business owner, and I think I've had some success. I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's been growth, and every year we have grown. This year we've added 12 new clients, and right now I have a waiting list of 25 to 35 people wanting to get on my schedule. So I'm going to hire more help next year if I take on that many new customers. But I appreciate you, Tony. I really do. You're an amazing
guy. Yeah, this is cool.
Guy.
This room turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
So they said that we could do it in the media room with me and all these other guys, but it was full over there where they eat lunch and stuff, and so this is like an overflow room. So like they said that we could come in here and do this, so this was cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thankful to make the connection, thankful for your friendship, and I'm grateful that you included me.
Well, thank you for being a part of it.
It's an honor. It really is. So until we talk again on the Lawn Hustle, we're going to say this is a wrap, and I appreciate you listening. And until we talk again, God is good, and God provides all the time.
Amen.